As we open our evening service, we might look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. We haven't got to where we're going, but we're here in order to take advantage that when we get there, we're going to be looking to you for your goodwill to be outworked. So God, here we are looking. Help us in every way. Thank you for your personal involvement and presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little attempt this morning to look at where we are on planet Earth and reminding ourselves in the process that history with humans, God the only creator, God the only savior, God sovereign Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we share together that all of history, including Israel, doesn't come out very good. Nope, they don't want to give God the worship. They don't want to give God his rightful rule. History. We came along, America, and Israel had turned their back, and America came along and sought to be a republic, and the atmosphere of the 13 colonies was of such a nature. Back then, we can't even imagine it because it doesn't exist today. They were looking for God. That doesn't mean everyone was there, but the general tenor of movement was God, to worship God, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we share together, when you come to the end of the Declaration of Independence, the last sentence in that, the 56 signers make it very clear, ultimately 61, 56 signers they signed. And they reminded everybody, representing all 13 colonies, they reminded them that they were trusting for the republic, for the pursuit of the Declaration, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were counting on God. And they said, we're trusting God, your divine God, that providence, that management, the foreseeing and foreknowing, we're trusting you, God. Whatever's going to happen, you have to help us. And then they reminded everybody, they signed that, understanding their obligation to God, and they said, we sign it with our sacred honor, our most holy relationship. God, we're trusting on you to be the king. We're trusting on you to be the only God, our creator, which it says. We're trusting you. And that's that. Providence. And here we are at this point in history. Now, having said that, and the world system isn't interested. It has never been. Never been, apart from a remnant of Joshua's day, and little blips and hither and yon, but the general nations, and even Israel as a nation, just didn't honor God. So, and everyone has a choice. We reminded angels, humans, have a choice. And they have a choice, why? Because God didn't want robots or something. God wanted people to be able to know and honor him. That's the whole purpose of the creation. That's the whole purpose of God, to make himself known in a wonderful way, to be appreciated and recognized. He's the only God, and he's the only Savior, to recognize that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and to worship, and what did you want the angels and humans to be able to do? To be able to honor you, worship you. What do you mean to worship you? To be able to appreciate who he is. To be able to experience to be able to enjoy and experience who He is. To be able to see a scenery, to be able to have something, do something, be somewhere, and to be able to grasp the painting, able to grasp whatever it is, and to get it in your head. Wow! A great musical piece or something. Wow. To worship God and to honor Him as King. To be able to go and have God's creative purpose for angels and for humans to be outworked in a most wonderful way. That's the purpose. To know Him as Creator, to know Him as King, to know Him as God. That's what God created us for. But the world didn't want to do that because the devil came along, as you know, and took over human history. And the devil got Adam and Eve to sin, as we shared. When they sinned, Adam and Eve, they discovered evil. They lost good, discovered evil. And when they discovered evil, they discovered the consequences of evil and sin, which is death. The absence of life. Darkness, the absence of light. Wrongness, the absence of right. All of that and more. Now, we said the easiest way to remember evil is think of all human society going down the corridor of time as we are all traveling at our history, and as we're going down the corridor of time without God. Without God. Human history. What is it to be without God? That doesn't mean God isn't superintending and taking care of things, obviously, or we'd be in very terrible, terrible trouble. But the world generally doesn't have a relationship to God. They don't care to have idolatry, they have that. No question about that. So here we are going down, and evil again is the absence of human good, God's good. And human good is not human. Human good is just human. Human niceness and politeness and all of that's wonderful from a human standpoint. It doesn't make you right. It doesn't save you. Doesn't help you in any way. You're still dead in trespasses and sin. So no matter how you cut the cookie, you get dressed up and you're all fixed up, but you're still in the coffin. And we can even put flowers on your chest. You're still in the coffin, no matter how you do this. Now, so looking at that and keeping that in God's wonderful movement and history and providence, so we want to take a look a little bit, if we can, at that, all the different little things, but here's some of them. Go with me, please, to Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, we are to be reminded. And remember now, every country, every place has a culture, societal mores and all the other things. And they have all of the culture they live by. They work and they school and they do all these things. In a given culture, different parts of the world, they have different ways of doing everything, eating and everything. That's what they do. And they have all of that. But all of that, when weighed, is not with no worship of God, no honoring God, and no honoring Him as King. They want their rulers and their communism's there, and communism's there, and evolution's there, evolution. That when evolution, thus communism, all connected. Socialism, which is just a notch down from communism, heading back to communism, ultimately. And in doing all of that, and there's Islam and the religious and pantheism and everything. And when you're all done, whatever you've got out there, Hinduism and all of that, what have we got? Well, what's the future? What's the future for, if you believe you're evolved, what's your future? There is no future, is there? Nope. If you have communism, there is no future. There is no future, because there's nothing. It's materialism. You're nothing. That's why I can kill you. Socialism, it's the same. Islam, what are we going to have? Mahdi and going to have a thing and but that isn't going to go anywhere because the God of this world isn't going to let it go. The Antichrist isn't going to be a Muslim, etc. He doesn't even want to be a Muslim. He wants to take over where he wants to be in the temple as a Jew, as Jesus was. Now, so having said that, there is no future. So here we are on planet Earth, plowing along with all things going. And by the way, I gave you a suggestion to make some money this morning on building these special tube things sit over your head. And then I was shown this afternoon, they're already wearing them in China, in the airport. Oh, you just have to be so fast these days. So I just wait. We haven't got them yet. Little headsets, well. And when you go to bed with your headset, you can just imagine what that'll be like, you know. Wow. I don't see. Anyway. We're on a trip, that's for sure. We're being taken on a trip. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And God, you're going to go and you tell us what? You don't want any of us to be caught up in evil. It's our old nature. It's everywhere. God, how are you going to handle the evil? I'm going to go and die for your sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to die and pay the penalty so that I can put myself back into a relationship with you in order for you to enjoy a relationship to God. And you're going to still be in this body for a while. No problem. God is able to help us. That's what we're looking at. Providence. The world doesn't care about it. The world is involved under God's hand. But as believers, we want to be able to grasp and get a handle that all the 7.5 billion of us or so out there on planet Earth, the believing heart has an advantage. And God changes things. The minute you get saved, things are different for sure. And we don't understand that, so God, you have to help us. Acts chapter 17, everyone can get saved. Verse 26, and hath made, so this is the Athenian Greeks, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on the face, to dwell on all the face of the earth, the whole earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. God, so everyone's got a place, all on the planet Earth, verse 27. That purpose, they should be seeking God if they want to. And if happily, by chance, indeed, they can, happily, they might feel, grope, even if you can't see, if you can't even understand, at the very least you can do is try to find your way when you're totally lost. And when you're trying to find your way in the dark and you can't see, God said, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. You will find me anyway. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, if they might feel after him and find him, though now he be not far from every one of us. So there's no one on planet Earth anywhere that God isn't right next to him right now. So all the people you can think of in trouble, in danger, countries, businesses, wars, and all things, God is right there. How far away are you, God? I'm not. I'm a step away. All you got to do is seek me with all your heart, and you will find me. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and you know in Romans, you don't have to turn there, in Romans 1 and 18, God tells them, I let every person born on planet Earth know me, and God does that personally, so there's no human being born that doesn't have an introduction to God by God himself. And God does so, and what's he going to do? He's going to show him going to show the, and by his creation, he's the creator of the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees. He's the creator, and he's the savior. He's the only God there is. And that's what they're going to, he's going to show them. Romans 1, 20 and 21, etc. Now, God's going to show them that. Now, hanging on to that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah. Over in Isaiah and in chapter 5, picking up, if I can. And so, God, here we are looking for your working, for in particular for the believer. The world doesn't know it. The world doesn't know. They don't even bother with God. They think accidents and all these things, that's their vocabulary. That's their language. That's how they handle things. But believers don't do that. No, no, they got a whole different window. Isaiah 55, reminding us by way of God's word about God. Isaiah 55, may I pick up, please, if I can, in verse 6, in the light of Acts 17. Seek the Lord and you'll find him. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Just think of Acts 17 again. And anyone, anywhere can call and look and find God if they want to. And let the wicked forsake his way, verse 7, and his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, his thinking. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, God, why are you telling us this? Because, for my thoughts, said God, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. A, God tells us right off that how we think isn't how God thinks. And how we understand isn't how God understands. That's the first thing. So we're going to try and figure out, God, how are you going to make this work and make that work? Well, A, we aren't going to do it. We're too minuscule, little brains. And we can invent things and understand things and do great mathematical formulas, and we can do all of that. We can calculate using the laws and go to the moon, etc. Wow. But God said, your mind is little. And you're going to tell me how to think. And in comparison, there is no comparison. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that's the first thing we're going to do, is make sure in our little head and heart we are alert to the need to be thinking right and have the right attitude and the right approach to God. We need to have that. And knowing God, knowing what? That God's ways and thoughts, how he does things, how he understands them, are out of reach. They're out of reach. So there's no sense in us trying to cram them in. We can understand them as God gives us his word, so that we understand God, and then God has to be God that we understand. We don't tell God what to do, but I do understand him. I understand how you are, God. And therefore, I have to roll with that understanding. That's what we're seeking to do. Now, so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So that stops us right off the bat. Because God, when you get saved, God does a wonderful thing. And he takes over. Why does he take over? Because he died for you before you were ever created. Before you were ever born. Before there were ever angels, he died for you. Has you in mind? And here we are. God allowed us to get born. Why do we here? Why are we here? Who am I? What am I doing here? Why do I have the conditions? Whatever. God, you know. Ah, that's right. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, my whole, it's all changed. Because God has a plan. He had it for A, B, C, D, all of us. But we didn't want it. The world didn't want it. But it wasn't that God wasn't going to be God. It's they weren't going to seek him. They didn't want to know him. They weren't going to honor him. And we shared a little of that this morning. So now, having said that, so God, what are we going to do? You, God, were just little. And one of the things that catches us in our reasoning, we try to reason, we have human reason and thought, and we can think things and handle things. Sure we can. We can do all that. But we only do it in a little way. Everyone does it in a different way, and up and down doesn't matter. We're all different and different whatever, and have things the same. Having said that, with all our reasoning, we're sort of stuck. Because one of the offenses that we have for humans, we are pride, that God could be so much greater than us. And that bothers us. Now, God, your omnipotence, you have all power. And the omnipotence of God drives us crazy. And we don't want to think about it. God has all power. All power. And that, we don't want to even imagine that. Because why? It reduces us to where we ought to be. We're just little, and God is a mission, large, great. Wow. So God, your omnipotence against us, our human littleness, And boy, that's our struggle, our reason. We have reason. That's what the devil said to Eve. You can be no evil like God. The trouble is, we don't know God when we get into the evil. We left him. We left the good, and we're left with the bad without God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go and you're in our littleness. And one of the things that we have to face all the time that harms us, that ruins us, is our ignorance. Our ignorance, our unbelief, our impatience, our tradition. It louses us up. We got them. We got a whole list of words. And we use them. We use them. And in the process, they use us. And they keep us out of reach of God. They don't let us get to God. They don't let us to get to God in his worship. He's the creator. He's the only king, only savior, the only God. And our smallness of good people, good dear people, but their smallness. That's right, we're just little. We're just little. And I share that, you know, all those things easy. If you went up in take a trip in a spaceship, a satellite or something, and look down, and I want you to go out in the parking lot and wave. I want you to go out in the parking lot and wave to them. Now, apart from precise things that they can do today, they aren't going to see you. They aren't going to see you for nothing. No. We're little. And we're good people, and our goodness tends to louse us up to get to God. And when it comes to the good, then it comes to the grasping. We want to be evil people doing what they do, and they try to grasp God and get things and have them and do them. And in the process of doing them, you can't grasp God. You can't overcome God. Hang on, you can't do it. Over, if you would please, Psalm 76. All kinds of ways. I'm just going to try to remind you of some of them. Psalm 76. And going, if I can, to verse 6. For promotion, 76, excuse me, no, do that differently. 75, 75, and in verse 6. 75. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and sets up another. That's Adolf Hitler, Hirohito, etc., etc., Mussolini. Line them all up. God said, listen, there's no one going to be anywhere. I have to approve it. And the devil's going to have approval to be in the his temple and his image in the temple. God is going to give approval for that. But you aren't going to do it without God. You couldn't do it without God. Hang on while you have that in mind. Psalm 127. In Psalm 127, we learn another bit of truth. God, his thoughts are high in the heavens, and we're able to go. And God, looking to you, you're in charge. The devil's in charge. That's right. It's his world. He's God of his world. But everything answers to God and what God's plan is. It can't proceed. It can't go ahead of time. It can't go past time. Be late. Psalm 127. Verse 1, wonderful. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman maketh but in vain. Watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. So when you're all done, if you leave me out, you're trying to work out everything and busy. I got to watch this. I got to do that. And there's nothing wrong with some of that. You got to do that. But we overdo it as usually. And therefore we get caught up in the fears and everything else that go with it. And in the process, what did we gain? Nothing. We just got all locked up into everything and we didn't gain anything. And God gives to the sleeping man or woman that's trusting him the outworking of his will. And they didn't do anything. They just trusted him. Mm-hmm. Because it's different now. A whole different world. Over with me, please. Over to Proverbs. And you know it, but I'm going to read it again just for myself. Proverbs. If I can, in chapter 16. And you'll notice, wonderful. The whole chapter, actually. But we're going to the end. Proverbs 16:33. Wonderful. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is God's. So you and I have to go through all the threads. In other words, we think, we plan, we go to work, school, home, we do what we do, our little lives, trying to work them out based on the culture, based on the country. And here we are trying to do that in this present age in which we live, under the present conditions, we're trying. So here's the threads. We're trying to do this and do that to make it all come together, to make it come out right, the pattern, the picture we're doing, trying to make our life come out right. That's what we're trying to do. We're busy doing it, understandably. What are you going to have for lunch tomorrow, you see? What are you going to do at work? What are you going to do at school? What are you going to, and you plan, and you understand. You plan this and do that, and with little threads, we're doing what we do, and we do all that. Mm-hmm. And the whole world is doing it in one way or another. Some are soldiers, some are fighting, some are bad guys, good guys, as it were, the whole thing. All of that is taking place in an awesome way. So God, here we are going and looking. And all of that is going on, and in the process, you're the judge. The whole disposing thereof, the word disposing means the judgment of a judge, judging. Now God, all of those little threads and all the little things the world's planning all over the place, kings and rulers and nobody's doing what they do. And God's there, you know, all those little strings that are being pulled. People planning, doing, coming, going, good, bad, evil. I know. I know all of that. All of that is there. But the outworking of all of those things are God's. God said, listen, if you don't mind, I started it. I make it work out right, and it's going to end right. That's the way it is. So I didn't disappear. But you'd think he did, because the small remnant of believers, comparatively, on planet Earth is so little. And the rest of the world is the other way. No one cares. Wow. So now, God, here we are looking, and the whole disposing thereof, God, it's up to you. So God, we must not find ourselves blaming you for wrong. It's very easy to blame somebody for wrong. The train crash, the fire, all kinds of things. Got to blame somebody. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. No, God doesn't do evil. God allows evil to exist in order to outwork the good. Isn't it? All things work together for good. Romans 8:28. That means that everything isn't good, but God makes them work out good. That's the phenomenon. That's what happens. I get saved, and I'd be part of the whole dumb system out there, except now God isn't going to let that happen, because everything out that's all around me and in me has to come out for God's glory, because it's His honor. We're looking to God to be God. We're looking to Him to honor Him as His sovereign, wonderful Lordship, to do that in a most wonderful way. So therefore, we don't want to be blaming God for wrong, and we don't want to be angry with God's order, how He does things. We don't want to get angry with God. People get angry with God. Well, they may not see it that way, but so they do. We get bitter, angry with God. You don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. You don't want to mess with God. God's providence is awesome. It's wonderful. It's for good. It's for glory. How He does things. Why He lets them happen, as you'll see. Now, God, see, we are going down the corridor of time. And we need to trust you. We need to make room for you in a most wonderful way. Therefore, God, can we trust you? Can we trust you, God? You allow different things. I said, I do. There's a time for something and a time for something else. Over to Luke chapter 22. Over to Luke in chapter 22. And in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, we'll pick it up to get the thought, if I may. 22, and then verse 35. 22 and 35, to the disciples. And He said unto them, when I sent you without purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and shoes, lacked ye anything? Now remember, He sent them out on a mission. They didn't have time to go to the bathroom or anything. All they did is, whoosh, gone, go. And when He said go, you go. And they all went. Out they went everywhere. Did you have time to fix anything, have anything? Have you got enough money for a hamburger? Nope. You got everything. Whatever you got, go. And God said, now listen, when I had you do that, and you obeyed me, did you ever lack anything? And they said, in the end of verse 35, no. No. Now God said, you tested me, I tested you. You didn't lack anything, nothing. Nope. And by the way, God said, is it all going to be like that? Oh no. But what I want to do, coming and going, am I outworking? When I want to do that, can't I do that? Years ago, when missionaries went, old-fashioned, that's old-fashioned way. I love the old-fashioned way. And the old-fashioned way, God would call and summon, and off they went. And they went, and they got their little bag of goodies and tried to find a ship or something or some way to get to where they were supposed to go. And even not knowing where they're supposed to go, they went to find out where they're supposed to go. They had to be moving. A moving ship is easier to turn than one standing still. And so they went, and they did that. They didn't have to go. Back then, you got to raise up $5,000 and do this and do that. No, it's an old way. I like the old way. We didn't have to ask or do anything. That's the modern system. To ask, got to have this, got to have that. No, the old system. You honor God and do what he had to say and go. And it worked. It wonderfully works. That's how it worked. That's how God does. Wow. Wow. And he does it. No question. Wow. Now, having said that, now you've got to read the next verse. Verse 36. Then said he unto them, but now that to them, he that hath a purse, let him take it. Make sure you got enough for the hamburger. And likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, sell it and be disarmed. No. If you have no sword, make sure you buy one. Make sure you buy a gun, as it were. As it were. Gonna need it. No, you may need it. You may need it. No, yes you do. Yes you do. You could need it. Parts of the world, parts of our country. You better have something. I don't even want to get into it. It's a dumb thing we're doing. So now, having said that, and let him sell his garment and buy one. Buy one. Get one. It's important. Make sure you have something. I'm not going to... God has to protect me. Yes, I will. But also I may not. In my providence, in my management of all that I'm doing that you don't know, that I may allow thus and thus in order to get thus and thus, and you don't know that, but I do, said God. You can't make it happen, but God said, I can. I make it happen. And what you think is terribly wrong and cuckoo, I'm going to make work out good. As long as you keep trusting me, I'm going to make it work out. I said, I don't see it. You don't have to see it. What you do is have to believe and trust me. And you proceed forward. Now, God, you said that. Uh-huh. On the one hand, everything. On the other hand, nothing. You got to do everything all by yourself. Like Peter in prison. The angel said, I opened the door. I got rid of the guards. Put your own shoes on. Put your own shoes on. I could have put the shoes on for you. You can do that. Put your shoes on. I'll take care of the rest of it. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of all of these things, and in, in the process, go over to Isaiah. Isaiah again, if I may. Now, remember, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing for Israel in the future, going to make it a wonderful nation coming up. But in the process, Isaiah 49. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, picking up, if I may, chapter 49, verse 14. God remind us. And Zion, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Where are you, God? God, we need help. Uh-huh. Verse 15. You're going to answer them. That's a normal thing. We want to help. We cry 911. Verse 15, excuse me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet, but I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Wow. God said, listen, I didn't forget you. I didn't forget you. Now that's Israel. That's back then, and that's all the way to today. God didn't forget Israel. God's letting all the things happen, good or bad, the missiles or whatever it is, the governments and all the stuff happening. God lets it happen, that's right. But God, you've forgotten us. No, God hasn't forgotten. God said, listen, I died on the cross for you. See my hands. I'm gonna have a plan. I'm working it out. But God, we don't understand it. No, you won't. We can't reason it. It isn't fast. It isn't fast. No, it isn't fast. No, it isn't. Nope. It's all being worked out. Now, God, so in the process of all that, picking up that in mind, over in Job and chapter 1. And in Job in chapter 1, just reminding you, if I may, because Job went through all these different things, you know, with God's wonderful, wonderful will working itself out. And in the process, oh, for time's sake, no, I'll do chapter 1, verse 21. You'll remember Job. Job has lost everything just about except his health coming up. Chapter 2, verse 21, chapter 1. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And everything was being taken, everything except his health. His health is going to go. But he would not blame God, angry with God. God, you don't know. God did know. Wonderfully know. Chapter 2. And in verse 10. And he said unto his wife, "Thou speakest." Remember, she said, oh, she said such good advice. Verse 9. She said, "Then said his wife unto him, Doth thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." They might as well just die, Job. "I'll have a little funeral for you. I'll be the only one there. Your family's gone. We'll just have a little private funeral. Just curse God and die." Okay. And then verse 10, of course. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this did Job sin, did not sin with his lips." He would honor God. Now that's, and God is going to prove him all the way to the end. He could wish he wasn't born, but God, I'm going to trust you. God has his reasons and how he does them, when he does them, if he's going to do them. And that's where we come in, God, in your providence. God, your management. If I don't understand that, I'm locked in the same as the rest of the world is, trying to work out my life, treading along in work, at home, in school, and trying to do it, succeed, then marriage and everything else, trying to do it. God, that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to do. That's what our world does. Now, God, we don't have to do that. Not at all. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of all of that, God's wonderful plan, plain and simple. And now, God, and you know, without turning there, well, you can turn there, why not? 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, picking up, please, and the third chapter, I think, and you will note 2 Peter and chapter 3, picking up in verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now," said Peter, "by the same word are kept in store, reserved against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." God's going to new heavens and a new earth. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And we're stuck with time. We're on a clock. Our heart is programmed for so many thousands and thousands of beats, and then it finishes in God's time." Wow. Now, God, here we are. We're programmed. That's right. That's right. And time is, we're waiting. Wait, the awful word. Wait upon the Lord. That's a lousy word. Wait upon the Lord. You have to wait. Wait, 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 wait. You have to wait. What do you do? God, why? God, you're in a hurry. No, not in a hurry. You're using your clock and your calendar. And I don't go by either. I'm putting the whole thing together. And it doesn't involve time. It involves the right movement, placing, allowing everything to take place. The Antichrist is going to come, but I'm going to finish the church. I have to let that finish itself. I do. Now, and everything has to happen. So you're hurry, God. Time. God answers everything at the right time. Never at the wrong time. He's never wrong. So if you're waiting, then wait. And wait some more. And wait some more. And keep trusting. Hang on. And you'll pick up here in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. To whom? Who is he long-suffering to? Us guys. Long before being angry with the church, with the believers. Long before being angry. Why are you waiting, God? I'm waiting. Wait, no, we deserve. You don't deserve, not you guys. You deserve. No. We merit. No, we don't. Everything we have is in Christ Jesus. And that's why you have a wonderful plan, and God's going to outwork it in your life. And it isn't because of you or me or anyone else. God's going to do it because he's going to do it because it's him. That's his glory and his honor, his plan before anything, and God's going to make it all happen. That's what God's going to do. And therefore, long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, you're going to give us space. Uh-huh, I'm going to give you space. Over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews, and in chapter, in chapter 12. Chapter 12, going that backwards. Okay, God, discipline, looking unto thee, running the race that's for us, and the discipline that you have to go through, chastening, that's right. God allows things to get, that's how you grow up, get chastened, disciplined. And so when you read verse 11, I'll read verse 10 for a little. And they verily, fathers, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. Why did God, do you discipline us? That we might be partakers of your holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I left out a word. What did I leave out? I'll read it again. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, and then I left that out. Afterward. After you get whapped on the bottom. After you get the spanking. After you get the discipline. Then you will know. But, why'd you let it happen? Job, you're back to Job. Job could say, why did you let it happen? No, he had to wait and go through all of that. 42 chapters. You have to go through all of that. For what? For what? To learn. To learn. Afterwards. It's at the end that God doubles everything. He doubles everything. Doubles his riches, doubles his sheep, doubles his camels. He learned his lesson. And God did it. That's right. Afterwards. Tell me about it and I'll see if I want to do it. You'll never know. No, you want to do it. And then you'll know it afterwards. You finish it. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, if I may, picking up in thought. Chapter 10. And picking up if I can. Oh, you'll catch it if I can here. Verse 35. Cast not away, 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense, a reward, a full reward. For, reason, you have need, patience, bearing up under the load, that A-F-T-E-R, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You do what I told you to do, and then you'll know. But, no, you won't. No, that's why it never happens. The average believer never knows, because they never follow through to believe. God, you do know afterwards. After you want my will, then proceed to do it. Go look for me to do it, and you'll know afterwards. And then, picking up if I can, and in chapter 10, the next statement, 4, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. He will not be late. He'll be absolutely on time. Not our time, not anything about it. It'll do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right reasons. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 11. Oh, on your way to John, try and do it very quickly. Matthew chapter 11. You know it. I'm just going to hit it quickly because it's worth reminding, remembering, causing us to remember. And here's John the Baptist in prison, and you know he's, and what's going to happen to John the Baptist in prison? Herod's going to go and take his head. So that's what he's got coming up. And so John's there, and he sends his disciples back to the Lord out there. He says, hey, listen, what's going to happen here? Herod's going to take my head. I'm in prison, and are you going to do anything? And then the disciples get the message. He's healing and he's doing all these things, wonderful things. I'll read verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. In other words, I'm giving my credentials and I'm healing people and doing. Are they all believing? No. No, I'm just doing it. Why? Because I'm God, and I want them to pay attention to who I am. So here's my credentials, and no one else has those credentials. So God, you dare. So John wants to know what's going on. And the Lord Jesus then sends the message, as you know, in verse 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Don't stumble over how I do things. Don't stumble over and trip when I do them or I don't do them. You learn to trust me thick and thin. No matter how anything looks, no matter what, you're going to trust me as you go down that corridor and you're going to go down. Now, God, that's an awesome thing. You're going to do that. Uh-huh. That's right. Don't be offended. Providence of God. His management of your life if you're saved, all the way to the exiting of it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. You don't need a helmet along with a lot of other things. You need God. Think of the police thing coming up, someone shedding all that. Horrible things for our state. Wow. You don't even want to think. Poor policeman, you're going to have to, forget it. It's a horrible thing. They just voted on it. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay, now, having said that, don't be offended, God. You're going to let happen. But for us, we're believers. And God, all of the different rules and dumb things out there, and the virus, and 10 viruses, and 10 everything. But then there's God. And they're doing what they do, the threads and the treads, and they're trying to make everything what they're after, depending on communism or something else. And they're all out doing it. Yes, sir. But you're a believer, and you're looking to God. God knows all this stuff, and God's going to do with you in the midst of it all. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. God, you're letting it all happen. I am. I am. I am. Wow. And I don't hear, as we shared this morning and repeatedly, I don't hear anyone, the general public, experts and all of them, scientists and all, I don't hear them looking to God. Where is God? There isn't any, as far as they're concerned. They're going to find a virus if they want to, if as it's convenient and fitting, et cetera, to serve the purpose. So here's John chapter 11, and here's our Lord. God, you know all these things, I do. Chapter 11, remember the Lazarus is sick, he's going to die, and they're on the other side of the Jordan River. They said the message is sent to them to come over to the Jordan, cross the Jordan, come over there, because Lazarus is sick, he's dying. And the Lord Jesus, chapter 11, and in verse 4. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And therefore, verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode two more days, still in the same place where he was. Now, why would you, your dear friend and the family, Martha and Mary, don't you want to just get up and let's go? And he went back and said, "No, let's sit out there and let's have another hamburger and let's just relax. Two more days. God, do something. It's your friend. It's crisis." Oh. But he didn't. Chapter 11. And chapter 11, if I can. And you would recall verse 14. "Then said Jesus unto them," plainly, because they look at that, they don't understand. "Lazarus is dead. I stayed here two more days because he needed 2 days to die. I want him to die. I have a plan. I want him to die." Yeah, I want him to, did they understand that? Oh, no. But, verse 15, "I am glad," said the Lord, "for your sakes. Job, I'm glad. David, I'm glad. All of us, I'm glad. I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent, purpose, that you might believe. And nevertheless, let us go unto him." It's time to go. But I waited. And when I want to wait, it has to be done. If it has to be done, you can bet your boots it'll be done. But if it doesn't have to be done, it isn't going to be done. Not for your life. The world's out there, they can't answer it. But we can. So, here's our little threads. Our little trying to make our thoughts, threads, trying to make our lives work out in every kind of which way. And then we try to live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and outwork all of that. Now, so God, what have we got? Well, I got a little thing. It's been on my desk for years, a little thing I have over my head. I think it says, "Wonderful. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully, spin prayerfully, but leave the threads with God." Proverbs 16. "You have all kinds of thoughts, but I work them out." The world can't say that. You, if you're saved, you can say that. And you can know that. Wow. That's awesome. Awesome. Leave the threads with God. God said, "I'll finish it. I'll make it work." You haven't got to Monday afternoon yet. But God already is there. He's already there. And as you trust him, whatever it is, God, that's what you're looking at. That doesn't mean you're irresponsible or your behavior or anything. It means you use your common sense and you don't presume you're going to be somewhere and you're going to leave an hour late just to test God. You don't want to do that. You do everything you should, as best you can, and trust God to work it out. And God allows all kinds of things that educates us and we didn't do any of that. But in the process, we are educated. Our ignorance is a huge problem. Remember, you only use 2% of your brain, they say. You've got 98% that you're unconscious of. The 2% you are conscious of in your daily thinking is governed by the 98% that you don't know. So you're trying to make decisions and do things, and you don't realize your ignorance. If you don't look to God to get help you stay on target, your ignorance is going to keep overriding and get involved. And they're trying to do everything. And you don't even realize all the rest of you, all the rest of your makeup, that you don't even understand in the first place. You don't even exercise it. Your mind is huge, bigger than a computer. Your mind outranks computers. Its capacity, it's absorbing all the time. Television, everything, words, thoughts, deeds, people, and you got all that. You can't remember all that, but your mind has it. You've absorbed it. And then you're trying to work with what you know. But all the other... No, do you understand? Are we going to have ice cream? No? I appreciate your patience. Sorry I didn't get further. Time just goes. Pretty soon there'll be no more time. And you and I won't know what to do because there is no more time. You understand? Wonderful. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, help us. And our Father, we're going to thank you that you have in your providential working. God, foreknowing, foreseeing, within the light of the future, your wonderful plan. God, here we are. And we can't make it happen. We can't even do whatever. But those of us who are trying to learn it and have it and understand it, God, here we are. So deal with us. And we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.